Well, we began last Sunday and kicked off our series entitled Christ Alone, where we're going to be looking at the writings in Galatians. And last week, we were challenged a little bit, weren't we? I had the opportunity to go to Student Acceptance Day, if I said that right, Emily. Accepted Students Day. There we go. At Cabrini College. So I had the opportunity to listen to the message online last week. And we were challenged. We were challenged to hold on to the faith that we have. And we were challenged also to reflect upon the work that Christ has already done. And so Paul began his letter in Galatians to a church in Galatia, which consists of Jewish and Gentile Christians. And he's refuting what was going on there. And we're going to see that throughout our series as Paul really takes a stand for the truth of the gospel. And so as we begin this morning, how many of you have heard the phrase, pay it forward? All right, many of you. And so really what that is that when someone does something kind to you, you return that favor by being kind to someone else. And there was a movie, I want to say maybe about 20 years ago, that was called Pay It Forward and had to do with the little kid who was in the Bruce Willis movie. I can't even remember his name, but I just remember him saying, I see dead people. And but then there was Helen Hunt and Kevin Spacey, but they made a movie about this idea of paying it forward, being kind to someone else. And I found this video by Coca-Cola called A Generous World, and I just wanted to give us just an idea of this concept of pay it forward. So take a look. Chick had mentioned earlier today, just buy everybody a Coke, you know? And then as I thought about the video, I'm thinking, wait a minute, nobody drank it. But the point was is that someone else, they were passing it on to someone else. They were paying it forward. And that's what we want to look at today. As Paul is writing here this letter in Galatia, to the church in Galatia, excuse me, and we want to look at paying it forward. And what we want to ask is, to begin with, we want to ask this question. If not me, then who? If not me, then who? The Bible speaks of, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And so I know in my own life, I've passed on things that I knew that God wanted for me to do. And we sometimes think that it may be easier to have someone else do what God asked us to do. But imagine for a moment if we began to say, you know what, here I am, God. Use me however you see fit. And I believe in those moments is when God will begin to work in us, but also he'll begin to work in the world around us. And we begin to see things that only he can get the credit for. He is the only one that we can point to. So in these verses today in Galatians chapter 1, what Paul is doing is he's sharing here how his life got turned upside down. And because of the work that God did in his life, he was going out to let others know of that message that he received from God. So why don't we take our Bibles, if you have them today, or your device, and let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 11 through 24 today. And so as you're turning there, what we're going to do is actually we're going to read verses 11 to 16, and I'm going to give you a brief summary of 17 through 21, and then we're going to finish out reading 22 through 24. So Galatians chapter 1, beginning verse 11, it says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. And then in verses 17 through 21, Paul gives a timeline. He's giving his resume as to where he traveled, where he went. And so that's what's going on there. And then what happens is he comes back here in verse 22. He says, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. And so we see here that Paul is beginning to tell the people at the church of Galatia, listen, I know what it was like. I understand. And at the church in the first century, here specifically in Galatia, there was more Jewish Christians than there were Gentile Christians. And so Paul was saying, listen, I understand there's a group of people called Judaizers. And so what was trending at the Church of Galatia at that time were the Judaizers. And what Judaizers were they were Jewish Christians who believed that Gentile Christians needed to convert to Judaism. Because to be a Jew wasn't just an ethnic thing, it was also religious. And so for a Jew, they had a long history of a God who led his people. The people of Israel. And even in God's word, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he explained to them, I want you to take the time to pass on from generation to generation my words. I want you to not only do that, I want you to meditate on them day and night. I want you to write them down. I want you to make sure that you understand who is your God, because I know who my people are. And from there, there was not only God's law, but there was also oral traditions that were passed on and passed on and passed on. So for Paul, he understood all this. He knew this. And yet, as we learned last Sunday, there were these Judaizers, these Jewish Christians who were saying, listen, it's great, you know, that there's Jesus. We get the Jesus, but we want to give you our traditions as well. And as we learned last Sunday, you know, that would be like someone coming here of another faith and coming to faith to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then saying, okay, we want to add the traditions of Christmas and Easter onto that. And so that's what we see happening here. But really the question is, why would anyone in the church at Galatia need to believe the Judaizers over Paul? That's really where they were at, because this was all new. And so Paul's not only, as we learned back in Romans, we learned that Paul, what he wanted to do at the church in Rome was for these folks to get along. They were one in Christ. And so Paul begins to share his resume, his story about how this all played out for him. And then from there, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what does it really look like for us day to day to rise above. And so Paul begins here in verse 11 where he says, I want you to know. He starts out, I want you to know, brothers and sisters. And what he's saying here is that God revealed himself. God revealed himself. What Paul is sharing here is how the gospel message became real to him. And he was saying that the good news of Jesus came directly to me from God. And if you have time this week, take time to read Acts chapter 9 and you'll see the story of Paul's conversion to faith in Jesus Christ and Christianity. Paul goes on to say that my authority comes from God. If I'm going to preach this good news of Jesus, it comes from the Heavenly Father. And you heard that too back in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me. And so what Paul is saying that this didn't come from any type of people telling me. I didn't look for others' opinions. I didn't look for others' ideas. What I'm saying is that this came from him. God showed me this. And what Paul was saying is that he was wanting, church, listen, I want you to hold on to the truth when you first believed. Hold on to it. Don't turn away. And because what Paul was saying here is he was saying that this was a work from the inside. This was a work from the inside. I go to a chiropractor to get adjusted, but also at the chiropractor, they have what's called health talks. And during this past Tuesday's health talk, I'll be honest, I don't ever go, and they want you to go, but I go when it's something that intrigues me. Well, it intrigued me with allergies, because I could take stock in Zyrtec or Claritin, but So we went to this health talk, and they were talking about allergies, and they said it's not just your seasonal, it's not just, you know, when spring comes or other things, but they were saying there's other factors that can contribute to allergies. You know, mucus buildup, and it could be from the milk, dairy, all this stuff. But then, as he's talking, he said, you know, we live in a culture today that says, doctor, I'm not feeling good, here's a pill. Doctor, I'm not this, here's this. Doctor, this. Now, I'm not saying those are wrong, but what he was trying to get at was, and here's what he said. He said, our bodies were uniquely created to heal. And so when we do those things to help ourselves, that's when we can begin on a road to a healthier you. And he goes on to say, listen, it's not just chiropractic work, but we want you to be whole. We want you to be healed completely. And he said, here's what he said. It's not outside in, it's inside out. And I almost stood up. I'm like, amen, brother. There we go. I'm using that Sunday, you know. But that's what we're saying here today. Paul is here saying, listen, this is a work inside out. God revealed himself to Paul. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Paul mentions the Holy Spirit 16 times in the book of Galatians. And when he does that, he's saying that, listen, it's God's Spirit that opens the eyes of our hearts. It's God's Spirit that brings about regeneration. And as we participate in the work of God, it is God's Spirit that brings about sanctification. That's a big fancy word to say God's working on us from the inside out. He's cleaning us up. And so Paul went on to say in verses 13 and 14, he said, because it was a work of God, here's what I want you to understand. My previous way of life, here's how I used to be. There was Judaizers in Galatia, folks, but then there was me. Because I was so passionate for the things of God, I believed that I was doing the right things. They may have been good, but they weren't God's way. You see, Paul was someone who was the best of the best. If Paul was to give a graduation speech, he would have been valedictorian. He would have been on the honor roll. He would have had it all on top. He was the best. He had the best schooling. He was under one of the best rabbis of that day and time. And this was Paul. And Paul's saying, hey, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do. I'll take care of it. And yet, for Paul, his goal was one, to destroy the church. That's what he set out to do. Because he was saying, listen, what I'm doing for God is good. And not only that, he hated people who claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. So this is who Paul was. This was his resume. And yet, for Paul, back to Acts chapter 9, if you take that time this week, Paul is on his way to go destroy more of the church. And he was on his way to a city called Damascus, and at that moment is where God interrupted his life. Paul was changed. He was changed eternally. God said, enough, Paul. What you thought you were doing good for me, let me show you how to do it my way. You see, because again, as a Jew, again, they held to the truths of the Old Testament, and specifically Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. See, back in that day and time, they would write on stone. And yet here's God, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, he said, my people, they're going to write my laws, my ways on their heart. He was already pointing to Messiah. He was already pointing to Jesus. And as we've learned, this just wasn't going to be contained to one people group, but it was going to be worldwide, that salvation was going to be available to all. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, even though I used to scoff at the name of Christ, even though I hunted down his people, harming them in every way I could, but God had mercy on me because I didn't know what I was doing. For I didn't know Christ at that time. Oh, how kind our Lord was. For he showed me how to trust him and become full of the love of Christ Jesus. Oh, the love. You know, as we learned last Sunday, just the way he would have been writing that, the tone where he was almost like yelling at the people, do you not get it? And imagine the tone he would have had here saying, oh, the love. I thought I was doing it right. And yet God stopped me in my tracks and said, I'm going to show you my way. It's going to be inside Paul. And you're going to be one who's going to do great things for me and for the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard a song where you thought you knew the lyrics and you began singing it and people were like, nah, that's not it. And you're like, oh yeah. I remember in college, the one REM, It's the End of the World as We Know It. And I start singing and da-da-da-da, it's the end of, and then I get into all the names and yeah, forget it. But recently I heard the Taylor Swift song, Blank Space. And I thought it said, I have a long list of Starbucks lovers. And I said, wow, this girl may not be too bad, you know, after all. And so whenever I hear this song, I would text my daughter. She's like, stop it, Dad. That's not it, Dad. You're so wrong. I'm like, no, Starbucks. No, Dad, stop. And so I did stop, and I went online to check it out. Well, it wasn't Starbucks lovers. And so I was like, oh, that's it. You know, it says a long list of ex-lovers. I was like, oh, wow, okay, I get it now. That was just awkward because it had nothing to do with coffee. But what we want to understand here is that God revealed himself. And each of us has a resume. Each of us has past that may be experiences where they were joyful. Difficulties, when life smacked us right in the face. And we have those things. And there may be things that I know in my own life that I've done that I look back and I'm like, man, what a mess. But it wasn't until God opened the eyes of my heart to show me who he was and what he has done for me. And he says, that was your resume. Let me work on your resume now. You'll understand it. Just let me reveal myself to you more and more. Allow my spirit to work in your heart and in your life. And Paul goes on. This is what I love, because Paul says, but when God. So Paul's resume up to this point, as he's sharing with the church, he said, but when God. What he's saying here is that God extended grace. God extended grace. Why did God extend grace? Because God had plans for Paul's life, purposes for his kingdom. Not only that, it was God who could make Paul understand his truth. Not only that, God had a special job for Paul. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. And see, what God did was he decided about this job even before he was born. And for me, I don't know about you, but my finite mind cannot comprehend the way God works at times. But what I can say is that my faith tells me that God is in control, and I want him to take charge of my life. A lot of times I want to take charge of my life. But yet, here's a guy who was living for him, really, thinking that he was doing for God. And yet God changed everything. He extended his grace to him. You know, Paul uses the word grace more than any other New Testament writer. Now, that could be because Paul wrote most of the New Testament, but what we're saying is that he understood it. I mean, the life that he lived, you could say, man, that was totally extreme. And some of you may be saying, well, I didn't have like a crazy wild story, and then I came to faith in Jesus. But each of us were extended grace by God, and he calls us to himself. He never wants us to be a robot or a puppet. He's saying, listen, here I am. Follow me. And at that moment, we have to ask the question, do I want to say, here I am, God. I will follow you. I will pay it forward for all that you've done. Because God's grace was given to us in Christ. It's nothing of which we could earn or we could ever repay. But we just say, my life is yours. Here I am. And because of God's grace, Paul was sent to the Gentile people. Again, Gentiles were non-Jewish folks, because Paul knew that's what God had asked him to do. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday a little bit, about, you know, just the church and the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians and Paul and Peter. And so hopefully you'll be back for next Sunday. But James chapter 4, verse 6 says, and he gives grace generously, As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Once again, God has extended his grace to you and I, and he wants for us to draw close to him. And God gets excited when you and I pay it forward. And so what we see is that God revealed himself. God extended his grace. And in verses 22 through 24, it says, they only heard. They only heard. What happened there? God received the credit. Do you see the theme here in Paul's story? It was God. God revealed, God extended, and God gets the credit. You see, at that time, there were many Christians who did not know Paul, but they knew of his reputation. So being at the Church of Galatia, you hear Paul? Yeah, I've heard of Paul. Well, you know what happened? No, what happened? Because I know that he tried to burn down my family's home, or he put my good friend to death, put him in prison. No, you don't understand. Paul went from the dark side to our side. Wait, what do you mean? No, God did an amazing work in Paul's life. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, if you were to see him, you would really understand what God had done. It's like if you talk about someone that, as you're talking to someone about someone, and they're like, wow, I would love to meet that person. Wow, the way you talk about them, that's what was happening here. They were so overjoyed. They were just beyond themselves that God had done a change in this guy's life, one who was so against the way. And now saying, let me tell you who the way is. See, the word Torah means instruction, it means guidance, it means the way. And so in first century Christianity, they weren't called Christians, they were called followers of the way. So imagine for a moment when Jesus was here on this earth saying, I am the truth and the life. And they're saying, no, you're not the way. God's law, Torah, is the way. Our oral traditions are the way. And he's saying, no, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here, the result of them hearing about Paul is they praise God. They didn't say, let's get a committee together to see what's going to happen next. Let's go, you know, fortify our homes. Let's go protect ourselves. They praised God because he did a miraculous work in his life. How many of you like comeback stories? A few of you? Yeah, I mean, they're just great to read or to watch. And one of the things that I found on Vimeo this week was, it's from a church out in the Midwest, and the video is called The Greatest Comebacks. And I want you to take a few moments to watch this video and see the work that God did in individuals' lives. Because if you think about it, Paul was a great comeback story. In God's eyes, he was a great comeback story. So let's take a look, and then we'll finish up. So God did an amazing work in these people's lives. I mean, that's just, thank you, God. I mean, we can just praise him for that. We may never meet them. We may say to ourselves, I cannot relate to Paul, or I can't relate to these individuals. But what we can say is that God is always at work. God is always calling us to himself. Will we be the people who say, I am here, God. I want to pay it forward. Use me however you see fit. The really question is, do people in your life know that God has made an impact? Do people know that? Do people ask you, like, what is it about you that gives you hope when it's hopeless? What is it about you that makes you always have joy and a smile, and that we can share them the person of Jesus Christ? And not only that, you know, are you paying it forward? Are you paying it forward? What's been given to you? Are you passing that on? A couple of things I want to share with you just to look at this from the day-to-day perspective for us, because it's great to know about how God used Paul and how God changed Paul's life and how he was refuting what the Judaizers were saying. But what about you and I? Because really, if we're asking the question, if not me, then who? I want to share with you about rising above. Because if God has truly done a work in our lives, what does it look like for us to say, here I am. The first is this: we want to give what we've been given. We want to give what we have been given. 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." We said that it's a work that's inside out. So if we look internally, what we have to do is we have to make the decision to share. We just have to decide to share what's been given to us. And when we make that decision to share, it's asking, God, give me the words. God, give me the strength. God, give me the courage. Give me what I need in order to make you known. And when it comes to being external, it's just pass it on. Just pass it on. So I want to challenge us this morning. And we were challenged last week to ask, to write down things that make us people please. Do you remember that? And so I want to ask you today to just write down someone that you may know who would be open to hearing your story of what God has done in your life. Who is someone that you could say, yeah, they would be open to that? What would that look like? And so just take a few moments and just maybe think of someone and just write them down. And I want to challenge you, whether it's over the next couple of weeks or whatever that may be, the next time that you're able to connect with them. And it may be as simply as, hey, you know what? Would you be interested in being a part of checking out Hope? Who knows what that looks like? But then I want to ask you this. What's your story? Or really ask yourself, what's my story? We all have a story. I have a story of what God has done in my life. Because if you and I can begin to see what grace has done and how it turned our lives around, the story of God and what he has already done can do the same for someone else. Because there may be people in your life who need to hear the truth of hope. So give what you've been given. The second is this, is give yourself away. Give yourself away. Jesus said in Mark 8:35, he said, "For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." So when we talk about giving ourselves away internally, we have to decide to engage. Just decide to engage. And externally, we want to look for opportunities. We want to look for opportunities. Just here within Hope Community Church, there are a lot of opportunities. We just saw Vacation Bible School, which is coming up in June. Or there's trips that are being planned. There is ways that you can volunteer at Hope. There's ways that you can volunteer getting connected with the Upper Moreland High School. But there's also your neighbors. There's also your community, your circle of influence, and ways that you can give yourself away. And really the question is, what's your heartbeat? Or ask yourself, what's my heartbeat? Because each of us have passions, each of us have experiences, each of us are wired differently. Because if you were asked me to play the drums today, it would have been horrible. That just wouldn't work. But if you asked me, hey, Jeff, can you put together some people who can reach out to the students of Upper Moreland High School through some volleyball and some activities after football games? Yes, I can do that. But each of us are wired differently, and we can use that for the kingdom of God. And let me encourage us to never underestimate the impact of what you and I can do when we allow God to do the work in and through us. Don't ever underestimate that. Don't ever think I couldn't do it. Now, there may be some things that you can't do, and that's okay. But when you're in your zone, you know, use that for the glory of God. Because when you and I make the decision to let go, God will begin to do amazing things. I've seen it in my own life. And so I want to encourage us with those two things this morning. Because if we are going to be people who say, here I am, we need to begin to understand we want to give what we've been given, and we want to give ourselves away. You know, I'm a big fan of the Lord of the Rings. And when the Fellowship of the Ring came out, there was the scene there in where the men and dwarves and hobbits and elves are all in Rivendell. And they're deciding who is going to take the Ring of Power to Mordor. And they're all arguing about who's going to do it. And then all of a sudden, this little hobbit by the name of Frodo stands up and says, "I will take the ring." And he says again, I will take the ring to Mordor. And all of a sudden, it just kind of hushed. And from there, he was like, I will go. I will do what seems impossible. And from there, all of a sudden, the fellowship of the ring began. But what did it take? It took one person, well, one hobbit, to say, I will go. I will go. Maybe that's for you and I today. Maybe if we want to begin to look at this idea of paying it forward, maybe some of you are already doing that. Thank you for using your gifts and abilities for the kingdom of God. But maybe for some of us here today, it may be for the first time to say, God, here I am. God, just use me how you see fit for the kingdom of God. Help me, God, to push away the stuff that doesn't matter. Help me to see what you've done in my life that I don't forget so that I can share that same grace that was extended to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. God is looking for someone to pay it forward. And will that person be you? Father, we come to you today. We thank you that, God, as you interrupted time, God, you brought about a people that you called your own. God, at that moment in time where you said, I will be their God and they will be my people. And God, you kept pointing to what was to come and to where there was traditions and laws, Lord, that were written on stone and were talked about and passed on, and yet you were pointing to Jesus. And Lord, because of Jesus, we're so grateful that your laws, your ways push us to him. And we're so grateful that you push us to your ways. Father, may we be people who say, here I am. Here I am, God. I don't know what that all looks like, but I surrender to you. I humble myself and say it's you that I'm going to live for. God, may we choose to not focus on our old resumes, but focus on the new ones that are written by you. That we can be people who understand that it is you that does the work, God, and you have just invited us to be a part of it. Show us those areas of our lives where, God, we can give what we've been given. Show us the areas of our lives where we may have opportunities that we've been pushing off. But Lord, you're speaking clearly to us today that we'll say we'll stand. Here we are. We want to pay it forward because all that you have done for us. And so we give this to you, God. We believe that you're going to do great and mighty things in and through us through the power of Jesus, who is the name above all names, who is our life, who is our hope. We give this to you, God. Do what you will. And amen.